in line with guidance, we've seen a near doubling in Amplats earnings, with the headline earnings per share up 95%. Now, the 13% rise in the rand basket price of PGMs has been a boon for the company, but it's come with quite a bit of active restructuring at the company as well. And joining me right now is CEO of Amplats, Chris Griffiths. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So amidst all the commentary around Amplats has been, management is doing what it needs to do to make the business profitable. How much more maneuvering is possible and should we be anticipating from your side?
So I think the last 5 years really, or the last 6 years actually, was all the hard work that you spoke about. So we needed, at that point in time, about 60% of the industry was loss making and about half of our business was loss making. At the end of 2014, our debt was at 14.8 billion rand. And that was after 2 years before that, we just had a rights issue in the company. So there was nothing glamorous about what was going on in the company, and we needed to do really, really hard things. So we needed to shut down mines. Unfortunately, we needed to retrench large amounts of workforce at mines that were, frankly, not making money and couldn't be turned around. We needed to put mines on care and maintenance, but also what we needed to do, we just needed to fix our own house up. Mm-hmm. We needed to cut costs, cut our overhead costs, which were putting pressure on the mines, and we needed to fix our underlying productivity. And Mogalakwena is a good example of how we've improved productivity from 300,000 platinum ounces to 500,000 platinum ounces in 6 years without spending capital. So we needed to do a lot of that kind of work. We also needed, we sold some assets that were at the top end of the cost curve that we weren't going to put money into. We sold some long-dated ore reserves. We did lots of that kind of thing to improve the business. But now going forward, the maneuverability that you speak of is not that kind of work. We think there's still lots of potential with our underlying operations, so still more just basic stuff. Now, moving from a good performance, we've gone from, I think, pretty bad to good, and I think we've still got the potential to go from good to great. So we're targeting that kind of production potential improvement.
Having been through all of this, I mean, is it as simple as shallow, mechanized operations is the only way to survive mining in South Africa?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think there's still room for efficient mining, but the deep level, conventional mines are clearly more challenged. As the gold miners would argue that the platinum miners that we think is deep is only, in their view, sort of medium depth. Mm. So in particular, Sibanye-Stillwater talk like that and say, look, there's still lots of potential, and I agree with them. There's lots of potential still for mining in South Africa, but it's got to be profitable mining, and there's got to be space for the mining industry to continue to improve productivity.
Let's take a look at some of the risks you face going down this route. Eskom in particular, what risk is it bringing into this picture for you? I mean, just last week, what, 14,000 ounces of lost production coming through on 5 days of load shedding?
So it was actually 30,000 PGM ounces. That's only platinum. So that's not lost to us if we going forward can still, if we get good, we can still, because we shut at the smelters, our mines kept producing. And so if we have a good run going forward for an extended period of time, we'll catch that up. Mm-hmm. So it's not all lost just yet, but we cannot have ongoing load shedding clearly for the rest of the year. We cannot produce without power.
But it is a risk that's apparent. I mean, we've had the minister say that we could be looking at a failed entity come soon as April. So what are some of the steps you're taking? Mention made today of investments in your own power supply via solar energy use.
So look, clear, we have a demand of 550 to 600 megawatts in the company. So there's nothing in the short term that we can do on the solar front that'll mitigate all of that. There's two particular issues worrying us. One is the increase in price. Mm-hmm. So for every 1% increase in price we get from Eskom, it's 40 million rand. If we have to go from the 5% to the 15% that they want, that's 400 million rand increase that we'll pay just on electricity above what we're paying now. So that's not to be dismissed. And then also, if we don't have power, we can't produce. Now, we are looking at one particular solar plant up at Mogalakwena of about 60 megawatts that could potentially be scaled to 100. But as we stand now, the current policy framework doesn't allow for that. So for example, the current policy framework only allows us to build a 10 megawatt plant. Mm. So we can't build what we need to.
Yep.
And I guess there's many folk in many companies in South Africa that would like to build more to be able to offset some of this risk facing us. But clearly that takes away demand that Eskom would otherwise
absolutely
have.
Absolutely, and no choice but to see and sit and wait and see how this all unfolds. Talking about your investments though, Chris, that alleviate pressure, the last time we chatted, we were looking at the kind of investments you're making on marketing and creating demand, creating a future for the metals that sit within your basket. What kind of impact is that investment making?
So we're spending probably about 50 million rand a year on this particular leg of our strategy to create additional demand for PGMs. The most of that we spend on jewelry, about 30 million, and then about 4 million on investment, and then the rest of that spend we have on industrial uses, so fuel cells and the hydrogen economy and the like. But on the jewelry, a really interesting example to see that marketing does actually work is our example in India. So India is traditionally known as a yellow metal market, but we've been able to, from virtually zero platinum being sold in India about 4 or 5 years ago, we already just under 200,000 ounces of platinum, so growing mm-hmm. at about 15 to 20% a year. And that's just from clever marketing, knowing where to target, in particular the millennials, so young folk, like young folk throughout any generation, want to be different to their parents. But also the targeting around the Platinum Day of Love, the Evara brand, so some really clever marketing that is seeing increases in demand in jewelry in India.
How do you see that impacting then prices? We've already seen a 13% increase in PGM prices as a whole. I mean, we know that yeah. platinum prices themselves have been stagnating at subdued levels.
So the basket is a really, really important message, and not everyone gets that, is that we're not just a platinum company. So we about 40% of our revenue comes from platinum, and the rest is coming from the rest of the metals. So we saw rhodium double in price in last year. We saw palladium, very, very strong increases. The minor metals, iridium, ruthenium, all very, very strong, mostly driven by industrial demand. Mm-hmm. Jewelry has been actually sliding down and declining in demand for the last number of years. We think that's flattening out now as India is sort of taking up what we're losing in China. But we still have potential to increase in China and the rest of the world still growing. So what we're hoping to see is in the next year or so start actually ticking up. And that investment that we're putting into jewelry is starting to take us back into positive demand.
And on the supply side, I mean, you've got to focus on pursuing low capital, fast payback and high margin projects. As those opportunities come to the fore, what kind of capex spend are we looking at from your side? What kind of capital commitments are you making in South Africa at this stage?
So in this past year, we spent 4.7 billion rand in capital. That's going to be increasing to just under, to around about 6 billion rand in this coming year. So very meaningful capital spend on both stay in business capital of about 3.3, and the rest going into both growth, these fast payback projects, but also a really interesting project on the sulfur abatement from our smelters to take us to world best practice when it comes to emissions.
Yeah, well, we can certainly see some of those confidence levels coming through with your dividend payout ratio policy increasing, from 30% to 40%. Thanks so much, Chris, for your time this afternoon. Of course, Chris Griffiths is CEO of Amplats.